CliffCentral.com.
Hey, welcome back to part two of today on the Gareth Cliff Show. My name is Ben Karpinski. I'm here with Leanne Moll. Leanne, hi.
Hi there.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Gugu is making podcasts in the production booth. It's all just happening right here. So today, if you missed us in the first part, Gareth and Sia are away in New York. We'll be catching up with them throughout the week, obviously, as they live the high life.
Yes.
Gallivanting.
And I don't know how much of catching up we'll be doing at this time of the morning, because that's around midnight for them.
Well, they'll be drunk. So they will mostly be inebriated.
In essence.
They'll be inebriated. It'll be late in the day. So we're not going to get the most out of them. But we'll have a bit of a chat. I'm sure Sia can stay up that late. And then we'll catch up with them.
Hmm.
There's been an absolute crap ton of messages. The Bachelor. We spoke about the new Bachelor.
Yeah.
Michelle from the Aquarium says that she used to follow him on Instagram. He's a babe, but shouldn't talk. That's a problem with TV, though. It's also an audio platform.
Yeah, but he I don't know if you're talking about what he's saying.
No, it's just that he's just one of those guys that the moment he starts talking, he becomes less attractive.
Okay.
See, I feel that sometimes I'm the opposite. I become more attractive if I talk to people, rather than just being looked at.
Oh.
Everyone has a certain thing, I guess, Leanne.
Okay.
Yeah. Question for Ben. How many Japanese are in the Japanese team? That is a very good question. I think there's about 11 or 12.
Why wouldn't they be the same as in any other team?
Well, if you watch the, talking World Cup rugby here, of course, if you watch the Japanese team run out, their captain's a New Zealander. A couple of...
Oh, how many are Japanese?
Yeah, I mean, Lapis Labaskakhni plays for Japan. Spoiler alert, that's not a traditional Japanese name.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they definitely do have a lot of imports. Some of them just obviously because Japanese people look very, well, they're Japanese.
Yes. I mean, there's no doubting.
There's no doubting. So you tend to notice the people who aren't Japanese a lot
stick
more.
Out like a sore thumb.
Describing this very badly, but you get my point. I think on a match day, on a good match day, it's about 11 tops. Many, many, many teams actually have. I mean, look at Scotland. Viapia Nell from Bloemfontein scored a liquor try for the Scottish yesterday. Have you seen the Anele drama? Her calling the not Beyonce Destiny's Child member ugly?
Yeah, apparently...
This story resonates with you, Leanne?
Apparently I've seen some tweets where people have put together memes saying Anele's kind of ripping off everyone and their looks lately.
As this person goes on to say, Twitter is having none of this, and as a fat person, I can confirm that if a fatty calls a thin person ugly, they're in for a world of insults.
Oh dear.
Gosh, Anela's doing badly here. There's just far too many messages, I'm sorry. There's just far too many messages, but I do appreciate them. Some people are very nice. Listen to this, Leanne.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely words. Welcome back, Ben. Awesome show this so far. Sport on beast mode as always.
Ah,
there's a confidence boost. If I wasn't feeling good coming into today, I'd read a message like that and I'd feel happy. But I do feel pretty good. It's good to be back. I shall be here from Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. And I have no idea who else is going to be here because Gugu could not be asked to literally go into his emails and find out. So it'll be a lucky packet for you as it is for me.
Correct.
Leanne, you know what yesterday was?
It was Sunday.
Yes, correct. But you know what it also was?
The 13th of October.
Yes. You know what it also was? It was no bra day, Leanne.
Oh.
For breast cancer awareness.
Okay, look, I'm very aware of breast cancer, but I can't
yesterday?
Go without a bra.
Okay, well, there we go. So you went. If anybody was wondering if Leanne was participating in No Bra Day yesterday, she did not. She had to wear a bra. But the reason I bring the story up is that they believe that within a decade, they can actually create a breast cancer vaccine, which would be a tremendous thing. I mean, obviously, breast cancer robs the lives, the dignity, so much of women through all ages, races, cultures, and that kind of stuff. So they are working on something that could be available within the next 8 years, they say.
And let's remember as well, it's not only women who are affected by breast cancer.
It's a very good point. Yeah, there are some horrible stories. I mean, when you, as a guy, obviously when guys... watch a guy getting kicked in the nuts, you instinctively feel hurt.
Mm.
When you hear of guys getting breast cancer, it really hits home. Like, you think you're immune? No,
mm-mm.
You're really not. But yeah, there's the scientists at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, have been hard at work here. Rather than coming up with bogus studies like other doctors about millennial quarter life crises,
yes,
they really are making strides here. So it could be within the next 10 years that there could be an actual vaccine.
That's
against
amazing.
This. It'd be incredible, because the more we can do against cancer, which is the worst C word in the entire world, the better.
I mean, a lot of women choose to undergo elective mastectomies because their mothers have had cancer or their grandmothers have had breast cancer.
Yeah.
So this could be a completely different way of knowing inside that you're doing something to prevent it.
Yeah. Just one message here for you, Gugu. Apparently, I suck for shutting you off earlier. This person, his name is Joe, is already wanting Garrison to see it back. Well, Joe, I'm sorry.
It's only Monday, Joe.
From the depths of
you're with my fuss bait.
From the depths of my pinky finger, Joe, I am absolutely devastated by that.
Shouldn't have done that, Vin.
No, I should have.
Now you've got Joe as an enemy.
That's great. It's an expense I will take. Google, you were derailing a story. Anyway, Leanne, you were going to say
something. Oh, wow.
Did it again, Joe.
I have a bit of gossip from the sport world.
Gosh, you're in the sport today.
This would not have been in the sport. Okay. This is news.
All right, carry on.
I don't know if you've heard about this, but the former box coach Nice has resigned.
Oh, this is a story.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a story.
A bit of salacious stuff.
Now, if you haven't heard about this in a WhatsApp group, then you're not in a decent WhatsApp group. Yeah, this is hectic. So obviously, there's quite a lot. The rumor mill is going hard on this one.
Yeah.
But because Nick Mallett is who he is, it's been linked. This is his niece. She was a teacher.
30-year-old teacher.
Water polo coach, history teacher.
Yeah, at Bishop's.
At Bishop's.
In Rondebosch.
Which is a very, very posh school.
Very prestigious.
Very prestigious.
Fiona Viotti is her name.
Yeah.
She apparently left Bishop's with immediate effect last week. That's what the reports are saying.
Now, as you would know, Leanne, obviously listening to the show and being part of the show for many years, in America, it's a bit of a fetish where you get a lot of these really attractive young teachers nailing students.
Yes.
Which is great for young students, as a South Park clip suggested.
It's also from the movies a lot, you know, and from TV series.
There's also some legal ramifications towards this with having sex with underage minors. And I've got to be honest, like, I had quite a sheltered youth. I mean, I wasn't banging my teachers.
Well, this pupil was 18 years old, so they weren't underage.
Yes, but now apparently there's been a lot more than just him.
Oh.
Younger men. Younger guys as young as 16. Like, that's going to mess with your focus at school. Call me conservative here, but
no, you're in your formative years. It's going to affect you for the rest of your life.
Your
actually.
Formative years, you're going there to study. Now, if you're going there to bang, you're not going to be focused on your studies. I mean, Google's laughing at this because he knows I'm right. But also, it's very difficult to have normal sexual. I mean, imagine you'd be banging your teacher for 2 years. Now you go to a matric dance with not your teacher, some other girl who's maybe still very young and naive and innocent, and you've already been doing all this kind of stuff. It's going to be like weird. You're going to be so desensitized from the subtleties of teen living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's just look at the intricacies of the family network and how it's involved here. So obviously we've said that she's the niece of Nick Mallett. She's the daughter of Dave Mallett, who's the brother of
yes.
Nick. And Dave Mallett was a history teacher at the school and coaches the first team rugby.
Yeah.
She is also the granddaughter of Anthony Mallett, who was the school's headmaster from 1964 to 82. So this is like a big family drama.
Yeah, it is huge. Apparently, I mean, I've received some voice clips, and I'm not playing them because I still think it's a little bit too rumor-based, but people in Cape Town, it's a big deal. It's like it's rocked that seaside village of Cape Town. With the goss.
Hugely. Yeah. The Weekend Argus reported that the pupil, the 18-year-old, had tried to break off the relationship. But apparently, Viotti, the teacher, reportedly sent threatening WhatsApp messages to the learner. And let's remember as well that Viotti married her long-term boyfriend, Pavel Viotti, in September last year. She was reportedly a water polo star as a teenager and was one of the beauties of sport, featured in Sports Illustrated in 2009.
Yeah, see, and the question comes up through a message here, actually, touching on a good point. What would happen if this was the male teacher at a girls' school?
Of course.
But I mean, let's just stick on this story for now. It's, yeah, because apparently she's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it's just a weird thing. Like, we all have strange sexual quirks. Preying on young men, though, I find is a very weird one, because what can come of it? Ultimately, it's a physical thing, because you're not there for the maturity or longevity of a relationship, for sure.
Yeah.
Is it a rebellious thing?
Could you be know, a because, power thing.
Again, like, we are just completely projecting ideas in this, but is it a rebellious thing because her family's so entrenched in the school that she now needs to nail these young guys? It is a, it's a very interesting psychological kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because she's married.
Yes.
She's got, by all counts, she's a very sweet and polite and together person. She's not some grubby old Miss Patmore who's just like preying on young men.
Mm-hmm.
She's,
But yeah. there's, in this case specifically, the ripple effect is huge.
Massive.
Wow.
So, if you go to school today and one of your teachers wants to get it on, fight. Fight the attraction. Fight the urge. Because as good as it is, as much as you want to high-five your friends, it's not going to keep you in good stead. Think of Leanne and I when those feelings come up.
Yes. Think of the ripple effect that it'll have but also on your families and people around you and your life in future.
But also just think of our faces, because that might really inhibit your arousal. Two of us looking at you saying, don't do it.
Don't do it. Oh, boy. Okay, I've sent you a clip, Ben.
You have, Leanne?
This is a woman from the 1990s who's explaining what a computer is.
So 1990s were a strange time, because obviously we watched a lot of American movies, Back to the Future, that kind of stuff, and all of this seemed like our lives were going to literally, from 0 to 100, become incredibly technologically advanced.
It was scary, actually.
But like next day, robots...
Yeah.
Terminator, the end.
Yes.
But it's all been so gradual. So back in the 90s when people started talking about this kind of stuff, they were speaking mostly from their ass. And they were, it was just such like a... Anyway, let's rather listen to this woman before I give you a rundown of the 90s, because I'd rather listen to this than me. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, gotta love that.
Done this show enough times. I know that only one thing can play it at one time. So this is a woman from the 90s. You can tell she's from the 90s because she's wearing a man's jacket and her hair has been poofed up.
Yes.
Because like when cats get scared, for some reason in the 90s, women had to look bigger.
Yeah.
Odd.
Now here's the computer tutor herself, Kim Komando.
Welcome to Tape 1 Computer Kindergarten. I'm Kim Komando. This is the way that my desk used to look. I had a Rolodex, and don't forget the whiteout. Now, this is the computer, and it's covered up by a case, but that shouldn't bother you. But what is it anyway? What does it really do? It looks like a TV, but it's not a TV, just like a TV. A lot of people are using these nowadays. So what you need is something called a printer. You knew that. I know you did. And where does this go? You got it. Just like videotapes go in a VCR. I mean, you know what this is. It's a VCR. And what happens when you press the wrong button? Does it blow up? Can you tell which one goes where? It's easy. It's like the computer picked itself up by its own bootstraps. With a program called Microsoft Windows, it makes it easy and fun to use a computer because everything's in pictures. Here, I'll show you. Now, in poker, there are wild cards, and in DOS, there are wild cards, too. You're learning the most recent version of DOS. DOS.
You remember DOS, and you always had to type in C.
So many codes.
Colon backslash... Jeepers. I guess that was started towards getting URLs. But yeah. You'd have to go like, is it a C or A or D?
D, yeah.
Anyway, she's dosing hard, yeah.
6.0. If your computer doesn't have a clock, it thinks it's January 1st, 1980, and President Carter's in office. It's D-I-R space... Oops. See, I made a mistake. Backspace.
It's
press
blow
any
up.
Key means any key on the computer. It says, are you sure you really want to do this? And I'll say no, because I'm not sure. That's how simple DOS is. It's like house cleaning. He's like the head waiter in a restaurant. It kind of works like an elevator. It's like an adding machine. Nothing other than one big filing cabinet. This is a mouse. It looks like a regular mouse. Put your index finger on the left mouse button, your middle finger on the right mouse button. This is called pointing. There's also click, and that's called dragging. It's that...
So essentially, this woman must have given an hour-long tutorial towards how to use a computer, and this has just been sped up and taken. We'll put this on the Cliff Central website, the whole thing. But Kim Komando, she looks like she means business, huh?
But it
herself, Kim Komando.
It reminds me of the fact that we didn't actually know these things.
No. Will it explode? Kim asked a decent question there. Will it explode? Is Mallet's niece hot? Yeah.
Apparently she is. Yeah, she was featured in magazines.
She's attractive. She knows what to do in a sexing video on the WhatsApp. I must say that. It's quite weird. Like, people send us voice and video clips. But this video clip, what could it be, Leanne?
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, what do you think this is?
Looks like they're throwing something off the side of a building.
Listen, listen. Here it comes.
Oh, no.
I knew that was coming. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. There was a clip saying, what does ice sound like when you drop it from 650 feet? And it sounded like Nick Mallet's niece.
Oh, dear.
That was an inappropriate joke, but that's who we are sometimes. Okay, so Leanne and I and Gugu are going to be here for a few days this week. Leanne is unsure. She might be here Friday, might be here Tuesday. There will be no Gord, unfortunately. Michael Flax is coming back, apparently, for a day.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I remember that from...
He's been coming back every now and then.
Yeah, which is cool because...
He's grown up a lot. He's matured.
He has, which is a good thing. But... we must talk about something a little bit more serious currently, Leanne. Now, of course, with it being Monday, we kind of have Money Monday.
Yes.
No, I just totally made that up.
There's a theme.
There's no Money Monday. So I've been here for like all of an hour and a half and I'm taking over. But we do have some fantastic sort of clients and people who come in and out. And Jeff Miller. Now, Jeff Miller is the Chief Executive Officer of GrowVest. So today we're kicking off the second edition of our series with GrowVest, all about filling you in on more on Section 12J. Now, if you're like me, you would hear Section 12J, and I wouldn't know what to do with that. Is that a part of the learner's license?
Sounds like it. I don't know.
So last month, Gareth sat down with CEO of GrowVest, Jeff Miller, to teach you more on Section 12J and the Income Tax Act 58, number 58 of 1962. Section 12J was legislated by the South African government to encourage South African taxpayers to invest in local companies and receive 100% tax deduction to the value of their investment. That sounds fantastic. The investor in return receives a Section 12J tax certificate and venture capital shares. The invested amount can be deducted from the investor's taxable income in the year of the investment that is made. So whether you invested in setting up, looking for someone to finance or administer your venture capital company, that's the VCC if you're looking for an acronym there, Leanne, clipcentral.com discovered a company called GrowVest, and they can be your innovative Section 12J specialist, corporate advisor, and financial partner. This month, Gareth sat down with Jeff Miller again to discuss why it's better to invest in a Section 12J instead of taking your money offshore. I mean, this is a very contentious issue right now. People are believing their money must go offshore. You've got to kind of like, you know, cut your losses and things here. But what different kinds of Section 12J investments can you have? So we're going to find out more by taking a listen right now. And then Leanne and Gugu and I will be right back.
Good. He's becoming a regular here, Jeff. Are you even dressed up for us today?
I'd like to be here. Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. So the reason we get Jeff in is because Jeff is the boss at GrowVest. He knows everything about Section 12J companies, an area of increasing interest for South Africans because it provides us with lots of opportunities that otherwise we would miss out on. A lot of people don't even know about Section 12J, and we spent the first episode just talking a little bit about what they are and how they fit into people's financial planning and how, as an investor, you can take advantage of Section 12J. But I thought today it would be useful to get you in and talk a little bit about why a lot of people might consider this rather than exchanging their rands into dollars and trying to send it overseas.
Okay, so thanks, Gareth. As you said, that Section 12J has now become a mainstream alternative asset class in, say, in the South African investor's portfolio, or certainly for him to consider. It's now somewhere around 8 billion rand of money assets under management, with a number of Section 12Js out there with a whole lot of different strategies. So it's definitely becoming, I would say, much more mainstream, and each year investors are becoming much more educated and trusting of this actual asset class and are comfortable now to put money into these Section 12J asset classes. The reason why you do it, obviously, is that the underlyings have to be, you know, have to be compelling.
Your fundamentals,
your business
fiduciary responsibilities,
but not also the business, the actual business case needs to be sound.
And this is where I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to talk, and we'll get into it in a minute, about the different kinds of businesses that you guys look at when you're considering these investments. And it's not everybody. You're not looking at everything in the economy here. You're looking at specific cases.
Yeah, so Section 12J is actually only allowed you to look at certain industries. It's not allowed you to look at any of the sin businesses, which is the tobacco, gambling, sex, any financial services.
Such a pity. I would have been very keen to talk to you.
I think it would be a bit bigger asset class if it had those things in it as well. But notwithstanding, it actually, funny enough, it makes it Sharia compliant to a large degree, because the Muslim community is not allowed to invest in businesses that had all these sin type activities going on. And so by default, by excluding them, it's now become very open for the Muslim investors to invest, because it now complies.
And attractive from that point of view.
Absolutely
sure.
Right.
So, okay, what are the areas that you can be involved in Section 12J? I'm somewhat conversant in these because you've told me already. Renewable energy, particularly solar, right?
Yeah, so solar, alternative renewal strategies or renewal energies, but the most popular is solar energy. And because why? Because it's a 100-year technology. It's been around throughout the rest
so
of the world.
Right?
It comes up every single day. It's not unknown. You've got, I don't know, 50, 60 years of history where one can actually predict how much sunshine you're only actually going to get in a certain area. And the technology works. And it's becoming now far cheaper than brown energy. And we talk about brown energy being the traditional, coal, oil, the Eskom type generation. And this is now the green energy is becoming much cheaper. And one is able to actually peg your increases and not be subjected to double digit, 15-16% Eskom increases that we've been subjected to in the last couple of years.
And what you pointed out there is particularly relevant. It's becoming cheaper to get the solar energy into batteries and to be able to use that solar energy. The actual technology is improving so much that it's becoming cheaper.
Yeah, so solar has come down in price.
And more efficient,
and batteries
right?
are much, much more efficient. And the batteries, which started quite expensive, are come down quite dramatically. And I still think that there's a long way to go for batteries. But by going for solar and batteries, one is able to take yourself off the grid to a large degree. So you're not reliant on the grid, and you can save, not only are you saving money, but you're also much more reliant on having energy 24 hours a day, 365.
Yeah, and we all know how little we can rely on some of the energy producers, no names mentioned.
Yeah, but I think they do a good job for advertising of the asset class.
They're doing it for you.
Correct.
Let's talk about hospitality. That's another area.
Yeah, so one is not in Section 12J, you're not allowed to invest in fixed property other than in the business of hotel assets or in hospitality business, which is that of providing short-term accommodation and meals for risk and reward. And a lot of people have now, in Section 12J, has actually invested into this particular strategy of hotels. And some very, very big hotels have been built on the back of this Section 12J.
Are you allowed to name names?
Well, I'd say the best to date is the Capital.
Fantastic.
The Capital, it's a success story, second to none. And it was funded through a Section 12J structure.
And they really have bought up and built some amazing properties.
It's a success story second to none.
Yeah, and in an economy like this, people are reticent to do it, but they've done and they've put them in the right places.
And yeah, so that's one name. Another one would be the Medluli Safari Lodge, which is a joint venture, a partnership with the Medluli community in the Kruger Park, where they've built a 100-bed lodge.
Wow.
It's a 5-star accommodation at 4-star pricing, mainly international visitors, but will also cater for 30% South African visitors. And there's nothing like that being offered in the area for quality accommodation and being in the Kruger Park, 5Ks from Pretoria Scorp.
It's amazing. What about what you are allowed to do in rental and movable assets?
Yeah, so
it's quite a broad category.
Again, you're not allowed to rent fixed assets or the immovable assets. So some of the Section 12Js have now taken, you know, their mandate or their strategy to rent out or lease movable type assets. And this could have been, can be equipment, it can be motor vehicles, it can be billboards, it can be a number of assets which are required by various businesses to grow, are movable, where they, you know, that there is an asset underpin and quick liquidity if one needed to get rid of those type of assets, and producing great returns for investors.
Okay, very, very good. I'm going to keep going down the category list here because some of these are obvious to me and others are less so. Private equity investment, but early stage, right?
Yeah, so I think Section 12J was one of the initial themes was, you know, just to invest in early stage SMEs, which is very at the early stage of private equity, more venture capital come private equity. I think what we've seen happen is because we're taking third party monies into these Section 12Js, the investment committees are becoming a lot more, let's say, a conservative, and they're looking to invest in existing businesses in growth capital, rather than very, very early stage. And so why I'm saying to you, and where the money is actually landing is in SMEs, smaller businesses, which normal private equity companies would not consider because they're too small, because it's got to be less than 50 million post money. Gross assets need to be less than 50 million after the injection of the subscription for shares. So it's outside of the radar of traditional private equity, and that's why I call it small private equity.
But that is an area in this economy which is actually doing well and provides quite a lot of the growth where there is growth, right?
Well, South Africa needs growth all around, and the growth is where money is invested and jobs are created. And you go, obviously the people earn salaries and then they take that money and they put it back into the economy, and the treasury earns taxes. So we need to obviously stimulate growth, and I see that the growth from the private sector, being these small SMEs, is where we need, as a country, need to stimulate and invest in order to create growth in South Africa, in order to obviously get us out of the quagmire that we're currently in.
What about tech and impact investments? They're separate categories, but let's start with tech because people are very, you know, they're in love with the idea of technology, but investing in a tech business, you really need to know what you're doing because some of it is smoke and mirrors.
Well, listen, the tech is a very different asset class. It's a high risk. It's the highest risk in all the Section 12Js because there is no asset underpin. It is all blue sky. You're backing some idea with some, you know, some technology behind it that you hope to scale at a high rate. And you know, so your risk is pretty high. So generally in a portfolio of 10, you're hoping that you're going to get one or two that are going to shoot the lights out. The other eight, you're hoping for mediocrity or even if they fail, because that's the type of odds that you're currently looking at. But the one or two that do succeed, you're looking for 10 times investment. We call it 10x or more,
right,
and which makes up for the portfolio. And it's quite funny. What you think might be a 10x to start isn't, and what isn't is becomes. And
yeah,
because technology changes all the time,
and so does the market, right?
Correct.
So you invent something, and then it's the timing's not right, and it just doesn't have uptake.
Yeah. So it's all about timing. You have to be at the right place at the right time.
Out of all the meetings that you have, I imagine a large proportion of them are around these tech businesses, and also coming to grips with it and understanding what these guys and girls have in mind.
So
it's a lot more complex.
Yeah, it's a lot more complex. I think what we've learned is that when we get involved in tech investments, that we back the jockey, because early stage businesses not for sissies. You really do fall off the horse. It's a lonely place. It's probably a lot more lonely than any other business because it's difficult. You always have cash flow constraints. You're always up against huge challenges. But so we look at the jockey, And that's where, obviously, there has to be a compelling business case behind it and an idea, and there's got to be scalability, and it's, hopefully we can, you know, you can internationalize it.
I want to caution anybody who's going to come and waste your time with some idea of an app they've got. You've heard it all before.
Yeah, no, we've seen it. We only invest where we're in these tech businesses where there's existing businesses and that they require growth capital in order to scale it up.
Jeff, what about impact investing? We hear this bandied about. It's even more trendy in some ways than the tech stuff. It's got to do with good citizenship and a kind of community aspect and kind of making it a business, so it has to generate money, but it also is about what you do with that money, how you involve people, broad-based stuff.
So impact investing is a huge theme, not only in South Africa, but throughout the world, or doing good. And that's to creating jobs, to the environment, etc. So a lot of Section 12 J's have gone into impact investments. And the one that I mentioned was Madluli Safari Lodge, which was an impact. So there's creating jobs in the community, upskilling the community. They're sharing in the profits, and then they can build schools and hospitals and whatever else. But then there's also where the corporate South Africa have to spend 3% of their profits on skills development and supply development funds, which is mandatory in order to get for the BEE scorecard. So what a fund does is the WDB Investment Fund, which is a partner with WDB Investments, take the 3% CSI money and from corporates, and not only are they now doing good, they're also getting the Section 12 J allowance, plus they get points towards a BE scorecard. And those monies get invested into 51% black-owned businesses. So it's trying to stimulate previously disadvantaged entrepreneurs, giving them support in terms of funding, as well as post-investment support by giving them assistance to grow their business.
So Jeff, imagine I'm potentially an investor. I've got R1 million. I could just convert that into dollars and send it overseas, which a lot of people are doing. What's the case for keeping it here?
Well, I think it's a very compelling case to keep it here. Number one is that as South Africans, if we want to see growth in South Africa, we should be investing in South Africa. So this is a place where we should invest, but I'm not suggesting that you should throw it into an empty pit.
No, don't be sentimental.
Yeah, but so I think we've gone through a tough 10 years, and we certainly are seeing green shoots coming in various industries. We're seeing sentiment. It's been very, very low, but we're seeing signs of it being improving. But more importantly, I think that the risk-adjusted return that that investor gets from investing in a Section 12 J, because if you invest R1,000, you get R450 back from the receiver, so you've got a net investment of R550. So if you invested your money today at 15-1 in dollars, it would have to go to 27-1, which is an 80% variance in order for that to be
comparable.
So I say that investing in South Africa and the risk of it going to 27-1 is I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's a long way to go. Also, that's quite interesting that when people take money offshore, all money, whether it's interest or whether it's capital gains or no matter what it may be, is taxed 100% at the 45% rate in your hands. When here you're actually
getting money back.
You're getting the money back, and you're investing theoretically R550 and you've got R1,000 working for you. So, as an investor, your investment has to go 50% worse in order for you to break even, because you've already got your tax benefit, which is also a low probability of that happening.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation. Jeff Miller, thank you very much. Grovest is the company to talk to if you're interested in Section 12 J companies. They can help you. They can talk you through it. They can also give you the specific advice you might need if you're interested in one of those sectors that we discussed today particularly. But thanks for sharing your expertise with us.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jeff. Interesting kind of thing, that, because obviously when we want to safeguard our money, those who have money, like Leanne. Mm-hmm. No, it's what you do with it. And to take it away, take it off sea, offshore, move away, it's not going to help the country. You know, obviously some of us have a responsibility or just an interest in helping the country. So there, if you didn't catch all of that, well, of course, it will be on cliffcentral.com.
Hope you learned something from that, Leanne.
Sure.
Okay, so, right. Ben, awesome to hear your voice again. Thanks for the sport. You're welcome, Gavin. Do you like Leanne's sport as well? She had enough of it. I just had a look at Fiona Viotti. Now, that is, of course, we're talking about Nick Mallett's niece. Unfortunately, she will be known as Nick Mallett's niece.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get away from that. The story you'll hear. And this person said, screw confused childhood. I'm not saying no to her. This person also earlier in the show said if they can't find anything to watch on Netflix, they generally just have a leisurely wank.
That's one way to go about it. Well, don't you think, Ben?
Sounds to me like that person just knows what they're doing in life.
Very decisive.
For better or for worse, they just seem very decisive.
Yeah.
It's a very good thing, that.
Better than us.
Well, I would say I'm quite a decisive person. Yeah, are you?
You still get confused when you get onto Netflix and you're trying to figure out what to watch and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a really bad kind of trait to have. I think it's a very common one.
It's also not the end of the world.
Yes.
Or just have a leisurely wank.
Yeah.
End of the world was something that Tom Cruise was in. What was it called? It was
something about tomorrow.
Oh, it was shite. It were shite. So the Downton Abbey movie, I'm watching that this week.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Going to make it happen because there's no show on Tuesday. Sorry,
Wednesday.
Because we're doing pre-recorded content on Wednesday of the highest caliber.
Yes.
Pure conversations.
So maybe Tuesday night I go watch Downton Abbey. I don't know. Got options, people. This is what life's about mm-hmm. having options. There was a story. Are you guys like a big fan of Anchorman?
Yes. When it came out. I've only ever seen clips of it. I haven't watched it again recently.
Okay, but the movie Anchorman with Ron Burgundy it was very iconic, and it was like, it was Will Ferrell. It was him probably in his best character he's ever created.
Yeah.
So much so that there is now a Ron Burgundy podcast.
Oh.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Let me just kill everything that's still making noise.
Okay.
Biggest. So there's the Ron Burgundy podcast. So Funny or Die, they create a whole bunch of things, and one of them is the Ron Burgundy podcast.
I'm Ron Burgundy, and on this week's show, we're talking about meditation, which is something I think we all want to hear. Please tune in. So you'll just dub in whatever, right? Good. Make sure that you cut this part out. I don't want people to know I'm just ripping through these promos in 1 5-minute spot. I'm really busy. So don't miss it. I'm Ron Burgundy. And remember, you can never put words in my mouth.
It's like 20...
So is it purely 20, purely 25? Audio?
No, you can. They do film it as well. So he's in full Ron Burgundy garb.
Oh my gosh.
And he's got this assistant, whose name I've forgotten at the moment. And it's, if you liked Anchorman, if you like Ron Burgundy... It's a really cool podcast. If you didn't, it could be a bit aimless to you. But it's one of those. This is the beauty again that we always say about this medium. Is to take characters like that. I mean, there's been amazing TV shows and like movies over time with these actors who get now. Obviously, Will Ferrell's successful in his own right. He's done a whole bunch of movies. But think how you can reprise roles into podcast form. It'd be really cool to do this. So Ron interviews people in a full Ron Burgundy kind of way. He's all over the place. He's just always forgetting what to do. And it is kind of funny. And it's one of those things, it's like, it's a very easy listen. Like, if you do listen to podcasts, very sort of hard-hitting stuff, this is a nice contrast to have.
Is it just humor, or is there some valuable stuff to take away from it?
He interviews Deepak Chopra.
Oh, wow.
He interviews, like, completely unknowns. He interviews people that he thinks are someone who, like, they're not. And then he's like, well, this has been very disappointing. I had much higher expectations, but you have been terrible.
So there is a lot of humor in it.
It's completely that. That's very much it.
Wow.
So if you're looking for some fresh podcasts, then there you go. One story I would like to tell you, share with you, before we end up on a Monday, is it's always nice to have a horrible story on a Monday that has a happier ending to kind of give you a good footing for the week.
Okay.
It's a theory I just made up right there.
I like this theory. Okay. I'll go with it.
There was a baby, Leanne, born.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
With three legs.
What?
Two penises and zero anus.
Wait, the second
should not
leg.
Have made the zero sign in my hand there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Three legs, two penises, zero anus.
Well, listen, when you've got two penises and three legs, there's not much space for the anus.
Very redundant, I guess. I know. But like, the three. So it's genuinely.
Where was this?
Hang on a second. I'll get to that and Google get to age in a second. There's a picture. And it's
it looks like the Isle of Man flag.
It looks like
with the three legs.
Spot on. So the lower limbs of this baby is the Isle of Man flag. The awkward thing is, couple of awkward things here, not just one. But the third, the middle leg, is the biggest of the three legs, and it's an actual leg. There's a foot in the bottom.
The third leg, Ben.
I'm not using this as like a penis analogy, and there it is: three legs, two penises. So basically, there's a lucky packet here. So what has been suggested, that there was twins, basically.
The divisions of the cells didn't occur correctly.
And it didn't kind of work. So then they were like just bits and pieces, and then this kid came out with the bits and pieces. But Leanne, as you know, you can surgically create an anus.
Yes, that's right.
Which is an important thing to do. So this happened in Russia, believe it or not. The child was born. I mean, this isn't exactly a news story, but it's something that really caught my eye yesterday. So yeah, it was in Russia.
Jeez.
But thankfully, Dr. Evgeny Kotseva and two of Russia's top pediatric surgeons got stuck in, obviously removing the leg, removing the smaller of the two penises.
Nice.
I made that up. And then obviously then grafting in an anus.
Wow.
So the kid...
Crafty work.
The kid is believed to have made a full recovery and will go on to have a very interesting life, if not just a very interesting 21st speech story.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine... Oh, you should have known me when I had two penises and three legs.
Yo.
What? Imagine he grows up angry because they chopped off his second penis.
I don't know if I want two penises. Huh? I think it could be very confusing if you're at the bar and you're taking a piss but you're still holding your beer. You would have maybe a need for a third hand.
You could plug in both holes. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
At the same damn time, Ben.
Yeah, I don't think nature would have been that considerate to place the penises in the areas. I'm going to go with them being side by side. And then, Gugu, there goes your theory. As beautiful as it is, I think there goes your theory. So, yeah, you know, let's talk about life giving you lemons early on. And there you are.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, surgery's just advanced so much. The fact that they've done all of those surgeries basically at once is just phenomenal. That's something that the children would go back to afterwards after a couple of weeks and then be assessed, and now it's just straight from birth these surgeries are carried out. So, it's amazing.
Thankfully I never have to endure the brutality of childbirth being a man. We spoke about childbirth last week and how it many times it resulted in death of the mother.
Yeah.
Which is rough. But you imagine you go through all of this. And you look down, all the pain, the ecstasy, the emotion, everything, and your child has three genuine legs. Your child's the Isle of Man logo.
I'm sure they must have picked it up on a scan, surely.
But even if it was, doctor was like, well, you're going to have a baby with three legs, two penises, and they'll be like, well, okay, let's just get it over with. Imagine that's the sight that you see.
Yeah, now, how do you feel about that?
How do you really bounce back from that? Post-surgery, all that kind of stuff, you will forever know that like your kid had like these three legs.
Child was a mutant.
Well, I've actually got a confession to make on this closing note.
Well, surprise, Leanne. Do indulge us.
When I was about 11 years old, 10, 11, I had what I thought was growing pains in my knee. So when I took a big step, my leg would actually... my knee would seize up. It felt like something inside was hooking onto something, and it was a lot of pain. And I actually started developing a lump on the inside of my knee. Went to the doctor, and obviously I had to have certain tests and everything, and there was an x-rays, and I was diagnosed as the second person in South Africa. The first person was diagnosed only a week before me to have an osteochondroma of the left tibia. And that was actually a third leg that had started growing from my knee.
Let it grow.
So if you looked at the x-ray, you could see my tibia, and hanging off of it was like, it looked like a witch's nose.
Yeah.
A new bone. It had its own cartilage, its own muscle, and it was ready to start growing into a new leg. And I had to have that removed. It was benign.
Yeah, I would say that was before, but yeah. Wow.
That was deep, Leanne.
Okay, but now just imagine that it was 100 years prior and you were living in some back-end village where there was no doctor. Your parents wouldn't just said.
I would have grown a third leg from the knee.
Your parents would have just said, "Just get back to plowing the field, Leanne.
Mm-hmm.
Stop bitching about your."
And when
knee.
I wore heels on the cobbles, you'd hear me coming.
Imagine, and then three suddenly times. You just had this foot out of a knee.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Well, on that bombshell, I've got to say, Leanne, your stories never ever fail to surprise, or in the very least, just kind of always make me think like this life that you've lived is just. It's so different. Sorry if you did send a whole bunch of messages. We didn't get through them. I'll try to be better on it tomorrow. It's just the new system. If you hover the mouse, you can see stuff. Anyway.
Ben, just click, Ben. Just click and read.
Yeah, but there's other stuff to do, Cuckoo.
Just one more. Try it again, one more time.
Why does everyone think hosting the show is so easy? And we'll leave on this. Someone sent a message saying, if a guy is addicted to masturbating but then gets addicted to sex, is it fair to say his addiction got out of hand?
Yes.
On that bombshell.
I gotta love this audience. I've missed it so much. Tomorrow, where I'll be joined by.
Tomorrow it should be Pumi, as far as I know. Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be me, it'll be Pumi, it'll be Gugu.
Aha. Uh-huh.
If you want to be involved, 0797482090. You can send us rude messages, voice clips, videos. You can even call Gugu. No, don't call Gugu. He's got his hands full here. To call him and call me out of the room.
Call Ben.
Don't call me either, but just message and be part of it. And of course, if you're missing today, clipcentral.com for the podcast. We should be playing another musical interlude right now. And after this, once it gets a bit boring, Tim Noakes, or if Gugu can find the podcast, Tim Noakes is Chat with Gareth.
Ben, you're clearly not scared of me these days. You're just taking jabs.
Scared of you? When was I scared of you? Have a lovely Monday.
Goodbye, Ben.
Ta-ra. CliffCentral.com